Good morning. We're so happy to be worshiping with you again today with our Sabbath school lessons this quarterly. We have really been blessed with a recognition of our sin nature and our hope. This song is a place called hope. And we've all been prodigals, and we all have this hope.
Thank you. will be reading, well, the scripture today is John 14, 1 through 3. I will be reading from the New King James Version. Please turn with me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. There, that where I am, there you may be also.
Good morning. Oh, wait a minute. If you look at the clock back there, it says afternoon. So if we have to watch the clock, some of you are going to be really, really hungry, off on your medication cycles and all that. So I asked beforehand for permission because I don't want to be up on a pedestal or anything. So I decided to come down here and join you guys. Is that all right? Is the camera guy okay with that? You'll do it? All right, good. God is good, isn't he? Amen. We have so much to be thankful for in this country, and not just because of Thanksgiving. Before I go any further, though, I'd like to just pray one more time. If you join me, dear Father, I just want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for the fact that you use broken vessels to share your word. I thank you and praise you for that, Father. This responsibility that all of us have to share the gospel is a huge one. And so, Father, I just ask that your spirit would come into our hearts and minds now, come into this place, and please, Father, may you be glorified. May we come away from this place having hope in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So I wanted to share something with you real quick. It may sound like a commercial because it is. I spent a little bit of time being able to film some Bible study programs with Better Life TV. Some of you may recognize that. Some of you might not. That's okay. But I'm now doing some volunteer work with something called Project Caleb. Have any of you guys ever heard of that? How about the Center for Online Evangelism? Anybody? Good News Advocates? They're all one and the same. Well, I wanted just to share this with you real quick, but I want to start with the question, and that is this. How many of you have actually witnessed somebody who came to an evangelistic series of some type, and then after a few times of coming, they just leave, just never come back? And anybody experienced that? Now, how many of you have had the opportunity to ask them why? Because there's evangelists all across our country that have actually been able to do that. And you know what their answers are becoming more and more of? I went to the internet and I saw some things that I can't agree with, and then they just move on. I don't agree with that. The sad part is, if you pull up who are the Seventh-day Adventists, what do the Seventh-day Adventists believe? You know what you're going to find? Mostly either disgruntled or people that just can't stand the Adventists, and they dominate page one of a search engine. How many pages do you guys go past when you do a search engine? Our attention spans maybe one page? At the most? Yeah, you do the top few. Anyway, Project Caleb is working. It's relatively new. There's not a lot out there about it. But Ed Wagner, who his father started, Delmer Wagner started Better Life TV. Well, Ed started Center for Online Evangelism and just recently Project Caleb. And the whole idea for Project Caleb is this. We want to tell our story, not allowing somebody else to tell our story. People who hate us, people who have left and then have bitterness to share, that's the basis of Project Caleb. Because honestly, if somebody else tells our story and they don't like us, it's not going to be a good story. But what if we could take back page one? And the attention span is that long, then we can tell our own story. So that's the basis behind Project Caleb. So how's this going to work? Ed has been in contact with the General Conference, the NAD, He has a meeting in a couple weeks. Some leaders from the White Estate are actually coming out here to meet with Ed. And he wants to cooperate with a bunch of writers that will actually have websites that will all be linked by way of the Center for Online Evangelism. And the Seventh-day Adventists need to tell their own story. That is what I'm kind of doing some work with on a volunteer-type basis. And it's pretty exciting, really. Because as Pastor James said, we're in a war. And what if the other side actually gets to dictate the terms? Always. We need to make sure that that doesn't happen. Amen? Because, you know, if you look around right now, have you seen this many 7+ earthquakes all over the place? You know, I ran into some people that, they're from the Midwest, and they said, you people that live out on the West Coast, at the time I was living in California, and they said, you guys have earthquakes. The bad part is now the Midwest is getting earthquakes, plus they get tornadoes. So that's double dip for them. So maybe they'll move out west here. Nah, it's getting kind of crowded here as it is. But if you look around, we have wars. There's a gentleman who goes to the Grants Pass Church. By the way, I just wanted to pause real quick. Did you guys plan on purpose to have the Grants Pass connection today as far as special music and this, or did it just work out that way? Karen, did you follow me around? Yeah? Okay, she did. She just followed me. That's it. Okay. But this gentleman actually shared that not only do we have the main wars that we all know about, but there's 50 separate wars that are being fought around the world that most people don't even know about. This guy's actually former special forces and all that stuff like that. Wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24. How about this? How's our political situation right now? How's our political situation out there? Not so hot. You have maybe roughly 50% of the population that's saying, I hate that. I hate him. I hate her. And then the other half says, well, I hate you. It's really, really sad because, you know what? And I have to say this. Because if you look within our church, how's the political situation within our church? You have people that say, ordain the women. Don't ordain the women. And I am not going to actually get into who does what. I'm not going to do it. So don't even have me go there. But the point is this. We are divided like never, ever, ever before. Ever. And you know what's really sad? Leading up to the fall council, and I made the mistake of going on to some of these forums where all they did was just sit there and just bicker about it. And I'm like, what are these people saying? You know what some of them said? If a split's needed, then cut it in half. Split it up. So what are we going to have? You know, because like, for instance, the Baptists, Southern Baptist, First Baptist, Conservative Baptist, Just Baptist, Free Will Baptist. How many Adventists do we need? So you have the Conservative Baptist, the Ordaining Adventists. Do we need that? Honestly, what we need is we need more of Christ. Because honestly, all of that sort of stuff is the devil saying, look at them. Oh, look at them. What did they just say? And as we look at all of this stuff, we ask ourselves, what's going on? And I'll tell you, the devil has actually come like this, right in the center of the church, and said, here's my banner, and you can't even see it. That's what his desire is for this church. He wants to destroy it. Why? Because we have a distinct message for this time. It's distinct. And as Adventists, what's an Adventist anyway? You can talk to me, by the way. It's okay. What's an Adventist? One who is looking forward to an Advent, a coming. Specifically, the second coming of Christ. What's going on? We see all this stuff going on. These are contractions. These are birth pains. We're leading towards something. And it's huge. Did Jesus say he would return? Yes. It's a promise. Write it down. But here's the question. If he is, what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? We need to wrestle with that question. Did you know that directly or indirectly, there's somewhere around 2,500 references to the second coming? So get comfortable, because we're going to look at all 2,500. You got nice soft pews right there. No, I'm just kidding. It's not going to happen. But you know what? There's secular magazines that they are actually looking into some of these things, and they're asking questions like this. What's going on? There was one actually, this has been a little while ago, how much more of this can we take? Don't ask that question, because this is the beginning of sorrows. But no need for fear. You know, New Age believers, they have something. Has anybody ever heard of something called the quickening? You know, being quickened means in King James language, to be quickened means to be made alive, exactly. So the New Age believers even have something. There's something that's going to happen called the quickening. The only problem is they don't know when, they don't know how, but it's going to be something big. It's going to be something drastic. But here's the good news. We know of something that's going to be humongous in a universal sense. But you know what? We're not in the dark. We're not in the dark. Why? Because we have the Word of God that tells us what's coming, tells us what's going on. Amen? So let's turn to our verse. Thank you so much for reading that, by the way. John 14, verses 1 to 3. We're going to pass through a lot of stuff fairly quickly. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I got to stop right there. Isn't that good news? Our God is saying this. If it's needing to be told, I'm going to say it. You do not have to function in the dark. Isn't that good news? You think Buddha can do that? You think Muhammad can do that? No. Only our God knows the beginning from the end. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Why did Jesus do what he did? So that this separation that's caused by sin is no more. His deepest desire, to the very depth of his being, is that he could be reestablished in an eternal relationship with you and me. Isn't that good news? Everybody here know about It Is Written? So they have a website that just gets thousands of hits per hour, just thousands. But specifically in regards to the second coming, this is very interesting. The number one language that is requested to be read in is English. But let me ask you, can you think of the next two languages that they would actually request? What's that? Okay, you know what? That's actually number three. Okay? But there's actually two others. There's two others that I'm looking for. Number two, Arabic. And also the main language of China. So you have people who are from a very secular country saying, "What's going on?" And you have people from the Muslim world that are saying, "What's going on? I need answers." And where do they go? It is written. Why? Because they don't have answers. And they say, we're told by these people who believe in the Word of God, that are Christian people, that there's something that I can find out what is going on. I need to know. Interesting, isn't it? So what is going to happen? You know, in Christendom today, there's not even a harmony in what's believed about the second coming of Christ. So when's the church going to be delivered? Is it going to be pre-tribulation? Is it going to be somewhere in the midst of the tribulation? Is it going to be the post-tribulation? Even in Christendom, there's not harmony in that. By the way, when's the church going to be delivered? You said that with not a lot of confidence. When's the church going to be delivered? Post-tribulation. Why? Because we're going to walk with the Lord all the way through it. Amen? And by the way, is it secret or is it public? Or is it then secret and then public? Or is it just public? There are so many different views that we need to make certain that we understand the Word of God so we know what to look for. By the way, it's very public. So 2,500 references to the second coming, but can we tackle five? All right, let's tackle five. First one, and it's a promise. Jesus will literally return. As we sang, Jesus is coming again. It's a promise. Write it down. In fact, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11 say this. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Amen? It's going to happen. So when he went back into heaven, there are some people that believe that God, you've all heard the Bible verse, God is spirit. But if we're created in the image of God, then we'd be spirit. But how is it that we're flesh? So listen to this. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. See, Jesus took on humanity for you and me, but he took it on for all of eternity. That's why he calls us brethren. Isn't that good news? And by the way, if he was spirit, elsewhere it actually talks about this. He says, do you have anything to eat here? If he was spirit, wouldn't that be kind of funny for a spirit just to put it in there? It'd be a quick trip to the floor, wouldn't it? just a matter of logic, you know. Second point, Christ's coming will be visible. Sorry? Literally visible. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. This church is really, really deep. Literally. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. This is Matthew 24, verse 30. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It says all the tribes of the earth are going to see it. It's not something that's going to be a small event, and it's not something that's going to be a limited event. All the tribes of the earth are going to see it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. I have to share this with you guys. Before we came here, we actually lived on the western slope of the Sierras in California. Anybody know Sutter Creek, Jackson? Anybody? Hey, there's one person. All right. Anyway, we actually lived further up the hill above Jackson, a little town called Pioneer. And we were laying in bed, and here comes the lightning, and here comes the thunder. And there was a couple times to where it was literally right on top of our house. And we're laying there, and it just kept coming and coming and coming. And finally, we got up, opened the living room windows, and we just sat down on the living room floor. And for the next 15 to 20 minutes, it was lightning, it was thunder, it was lightning, it was thunder, it was lightning, it was thunder. It was sheet lightning, it was cloud-to-cloud lightning, it was bolt lightning, it was unbelievable. See, the western slope of the Sierras, everything comes from the coast across the valley and then piles up against the western slope, drops its energy, goes up and over the top. I don't need to give you a lesson in weather, but so sometimes the weather would just stall right over the top of us. And it had to have been 15 or 20 minutes of the most amazing light show that Disney could never touch. Now, our son just slept right through it, but we were not going to be going asleep with all of this going on. And that was just in the sky here. Imagine what it's going to be like when he comes back. Having said that, point number three, Christ's coming will be audible. We're going to hear it. Matthew 24, verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Trumpet players? Any? Not one trumpet player. I have never, ever, ever. Wait, there's one. There we go. There we go. Okay, trombone players. No trombone players? That's okay. You're a trombone player? You know, no matter how hard the trombone players tried when I played band in academy, no matter how hard you tried, you could not rise above the trumpets. You just couldn't do it, right? And so here was our band teacher. We actually sat to his left, and here was the band teacher constantly with us trumpets. We liked the sound that we made. We really liked it. In fact, one guy who sat next to me, he was nuts how loud he played. The music teacher finally said, "You need to calm down." But why is it that God chose the trumpet? Because he wants it to be the loudest thing in the room. He wants it to be the loudest thing in the universe. The trumpet of God is going to sound, and it's not going to be something that's quiet. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we love this verse as Adventists, and I want to read it again because I love it too. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Not only do we have the musical instrument, but we actually have a shout that's actually going to come forth from the angelic host. Do you think that is going to make the entire universe shake? Oh, it's going to shake. So how many of us have heard of the term loud enough to wake the dead? You heard that? Of course, that was described in your teenage years when you're playing your music too loud. But this is a completely different level, what we're talking about here, because this is a level that actually has with it something that has actually quickening powers that comes directly from God himself. In John 5:25 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." It is a promise. We can write it down and we can know it is going to happen. The dead will actually have their ears woken up by the voice of God himself. Christ's coming, point number four, will be incredibly glorious. So you remember when Moses was up on the mountain speaking with God as to a friend? When he came back down the mountain, can you imagine the privilege of actually speaking with the Lord directly as with a friend? Do you imagine that? It's going to happen, by the way. I'm not going to mention that here at length. But that's what makes eternity amazing, is because we are actually going to have fellowship directly with our God. No sin getting in the way. But when he came down the mountain, the children of Israel didn't say, "Praise the Lord, look at this guy. He's actually glowing as if he just saw God." What did they say? Cover it up. Have you ever been so excited about something that to do with the Lord, and then somebody said, "Cover it up. Easy there. You're going to burn yourself out." Not if it keeps coming from the Lord, you're not. Psalm 50, verse 3. "Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. It's going to be an incredible scene. Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. So let me ask you this. How many angels did it take to wipe out an entire Roman legion?
One.
An entire Roman legion. Just laid flat. One. So let's do some math. Anybody good at math? Revelation 5, verse 11 says this, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Quickly in your head, do the math. And thousands of thousands. Anybody? Ooh, very good. Who just said 100 million? I wish I had a prize to give you. That was really good. 100 million. One knocked out an entire Roman legion. Here we have 100 million. And just for good measure, we have to add another 1,000 times 1,000, which is just 1 million. So 101 million angels, all at the same time, giving praise to God at the top of their very lungs. That's going to be something else, isn't it? So what are we going to be doing when this is going on? That's a question. What are we going to be doing? Because, point number five, Jesus' coming will mark the end of this world as we know it now. And that's a key point. The world's not going to come to an end, but it's going to come to an end as we know it now. Is this a great place as we know it? No, it isn't. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? A death, O death, where is your sting? And O grave, where's your victory? There is none. That's the implied answer. There is none. For death and the grave anymore. It's finished. How about this one? And this is something, let me ask you guys a question. Some of you guys may be old enough. Young people, this is something maybe, if you go to grandma's house, you might see this. But otherwise, you're probably not going to. Do you remember the old actual shades where you pulled the things down? And then as kids, you weren't supposed to do this, but you just went and just released the thing as it went. You know that story? You remember that? Listen to this, because keep that image in your mind. Okay, keep that image in your mind as we read this. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island moved out of its place. Now imagine this. Just because of all this stuff that's going on, basically it's as if God just grabbed a hold of the little loop of the sky and went, and just the sky is going to roll up like that. That's what this is saying. But it's the entire sky. Our entire atmosphere is just going to roll up. I don't know how it's going to happen, but that's what it says here. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves, and in the rocks of the mountains. What are we going to be doing during this time? What are we going to be doing during this time? And said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. These are people that are filled with fear over this wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Let me ask you the question. What are we going to be doing during this time? Because honestly, there's two things that are going to be going on. Those who are in fear of the wrath of God, and those who are covered in the robe of Christ's righteousness. But we have to ask ourselves the question, when this is going on, what group are we in? I want to address something real quick. In Sabbath school, the brother who was teaching, I lost his name. Where was he at? He was right here in the sanctuary. Eldon. There he is. So it was brought up some things about Catholicism. I actually, you know, Sean Murphy, Irish Catholic. I went to Catholic school till I was in fourth grade, did the whole First Communion thing. Oh, anyway, it was something where the picture painted, and this is something I was not going to share this during Sabbath school. I'm going to share it now. But the picture painted of God was this, and I'm going to pick on you because you're so close to me. You know what? Don't you even think about messing up one time, because I'm going to get a lightning bolt right through your head. You understand me? That's the picture. That's the picture oftentimes that's painted of God, because God, I have something against you personally. What is the wrath of God against, by the way? Sin. So if I cherish sin in me, guess what? Maybe there is a lightning bolt for me. I don't know. But God doesn't sit there going, you know what I really, really desire? I desire to fry you. That's what I'm really looking for. That's not the wrath of God. The wrath of God, he despises sin, but he wants us to have nothing to do with it. Amen? We shouldn't be motivated by that fear. We should be motivated by the fact that we love God. And we look forward to being with him for all of eternity. That should be the motivation. So, there's some that are going to be saying, I am so fearful. Please, rocks, fall on me. I can't handle this. It's too much. So, as Adventists, we have been saying for many years, by the way, my son is almost 15 years old, and we were not going to have children, my wife and I. By the way, Pastor James, my wife really, really loves it when you say, Alana, point at her like that. She loves that. She loves it. So see, I'm pointing her out right now, and she's like, when we get in the car, it's game on. Anyway, but I'm doing it anyway because, you know, it's a captive audience, so... But honestly, we have been saying for generations, we said, this is just not a place to raise children. And, you know, anybody thought that? Oh, I can't have children. The Lord's going to come before she's even finished being pregnant. He's 15 years old in January. And she's the only child of her parents, and her mother sat her down and said, you know, if we had thought that way and we weren't thinking we were going to reach retirement age, you'd have never been born. Okay, a good defense. That's a good defense. But you know what? As Adventists, we have done something. And we have talked about the soonness of the second coming. We've talked about, okay, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. You know what? Jesus is coming soon. And you know what we've done with that? Familiarity has bred contempt. And we've gotten to the point where we say, yeah, Jesus is coming. But the thing is, in our hearts, we're actually really saying, it's no sooner than when we first believed. But if we're really, truly Adventists, it doesn't matter when. It really doesn't. What matters is this. I'm walking with him now, and I want to continue to for all of eternity. Because as Adventists, when doesn't matter. But holding on to Christ's right hand matters. That matters. But there's going to be a call that's going to go out. Revelation 22, verse 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And a just God is going to say that. That's something that's really key. It's like, okay, God just wants to shut the door on us. No, God has a wide open door. But at some point in time, it's going to go out. If we've made that decision for Christ and we're covered with the robe of his righteousness, come on in. And if we've chosen not to, God's going to respect that, but I believe it's going to hurt him to his very core if we haven't chosen him. But there's another group that's actually going to say something to this effect, Isaiah 25, verse 9. And it will be said in that day, behold, This is our God. We have waited for him. And he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So the question is, on that day, what are we going to be doing? Is it going to be, oh, I'm fearful, rocks fall on me? Or going, praise the Lord, this is our God. That's who we've been waiting for this whole time. And we need to have that question answered. We really do, in our own hearts. So, do you believe that when you come to the point to where you're actually seeking that relationship, where you're holding on to Christ like that, you think Satan's happy about it? Just be assured of this. He hates it. He hates it with a passion, and he wants to get in the way of that. As I mentioned about Project Caleb, what if people come to the truth as opposed to being deceived by people who want to actually advertise lies about us? Tool of the devil. Plain and simple, it's just a tool of the devil to get people away from a saving relationship to Christ that's based on the truth as it is in Jesus. But I want to leave you with some encouragement. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Anybody have tribulation at all? Unfortunately, you know what I find? Some of my tribulation is actually completely self-imposed, but I'm not even going to digress that far. In the world, you will have tribulation, but I love it when Scripture does that, because here I am going, oh great, I'm going to have tribulation. That sounds like a good time. But when Scripture puts the comma and it says, but, I love that. Why? Because Scripture keeps going and it says, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And I'll just keep going with that. I'll write my own little addendum to that. And if I have overcome the world, I will empower you to do the same. And me to do the same. He wants to give us that power to overcome. And for those who are struggling with fear, Isaiah says this, Isaiah 41. Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I'm sorry. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. You like that word picture? Here we are about to fall, and it says, fear not. And here's Christ saying, here's my righteous right hand. I'm going to steady you all the way through this entire process. You do not have to walk anywhere on this earth alone. That's the word picture. And Christ just saying, hold on. Hold on. So I want to leave with a challenge. We're not too far from the start of the new year, but we can start this before the new year. First and foremost, if Jesus is not made our priority, and let's face it, we all wrestle with that. Don't raise your hands, but we all wrestle with making Jesus our priority and our relationship with Christ a priority. And I can name 100 things right now, and I'm sure you could do the same, of things that would get in the way of that. And the devil says, if this doesn't get you, then how about this? And if that doesn't get you, then how about that? But as we move forward, the times we live in are deadly serious. And we need to make holding on to Christ our priority. If we could get vice grips, go get some. So if he's a good friend now, I want to challenge you to make him your best friend. Because he's calling me and he's calling you to that as well. You know what? You know me somewhat. How about you know me like a best friend? And if we come to the point where in Scripture it says that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto us. Do you want to have all of it added to you? Then we as a people need to seek Christ like we never have before. I'm going to challenge you with that.
Please turn in your hymnal to 214. And please stand with me and sing, "We Have This Hope."
Let's pray. Before we do that, though, I would just like to thank you guys for letting me come here and share. I count it a privilege and an honor, and I wish you God's blessings. And I know right now you have Pastor James, who's I'm sure going to lead you into some good things here as your interim pastor. But as you move forward in your pastoral search, just know that we will definitely be in prayer. There's a lot of churches around here that are looking for pastors, you guys included. But we'll actually lift you guys up in prayer. The right person, right time would come here for you guys. You guys will be in our prayers. So let's pray together. Dear Father, I just want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, that you don't leave us in this world without hope. Hope of something so much bigger than we can ever wrap our minds around. Father, hope in the coming of the Lord. But then once that happens, Father, we have assurance that sin will not rise again a second time, and we will be with you forever. And Father, please help each one of us, and it is a wrestling match every single day, but help each one of us, Father, to come to the point to where we do hold on to your righteous right hand like it's a matter of life and death, because Father, it is. And I want to pray a blessing on this church family, Father, and may you just lead them as they work for you. In Jesus' name we pray.